Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Thyme Sullivan on the line, and she's co-founder and CEO over at Top the Project, the Organic Project. Thyme, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here today. Thanks for having me.
All right, so excited to get to go into today's topic. So we'll talk about representation of capital in the VC world. So only 2.2% of VC went to women-founded companies in 2020, and we're going to talk about why that is. So we'll get into that in a moment. But just to get us kicked off, I'll start with our signature question. So Thyme, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Thyme, what mission matters to you?
Great question. Thank you so much. What mission matters is what I know right now, that I was always meant to empower women. So I had a career over 20 years as an executive with Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, and Nestle USA. And my job was eliminated, and I was at this crossroads in my career on whether I was going to go get another corporate job locally or take a chance at entrepreneurship. And really, when I started looking at the industry, we started a company, my co-founder and I, who's actually my cousin as well, was at a similar crossroads. And we started Top the Organic Project, which is Top is an acronym for the Organic Project, to make better and more eco-friendly period products for our own daughters and for women everywhere. We found a lack of innovation, a lack of transparency, and a lack of conversation happening with girls at this critical age in the industry.
Wow, what a story. And I mean, I get it. And great topic. So, I mean, let's go a little bit further, I guess, into the company to get to start. So tell us more about Top the Organic Project.
Sure. So again, you know, having looked at all these changes that had happened with the food that we're eating, cleaning products and makeup, nothing was really happening in feminine care because let's face it, it's a bit of a wonky topic. So there wasn't a lot of transparency or good organic options. There was a big environmental issue with all the plastics in the traditional products. And the biggest thing for us as moms and daughters that we know now that it was 1 in 5 when we started, and since the pandemic, 1 in 4 girls in the U.S. has missed school because she didn't have access to period products. So that was something that really meant a lot to us as moms, and we wanted to do something about it. But what was interesting is when we just came out with the stats and why these were better for you, people weren't terribly interested in talking about it. It wasn't until we brought some levity to the conversation, and we literally have tampon suits that we have and that I've run a 10K in and been out to lunch and really opened up the dialogue, that it became a common conversation, and it's led to engaging and educating people about the importance of better feminine care.
Mm. No, this is great. And I've actually had, we've had a couple of, women, founders that have, been in different areas of, women feminine care and thinking about how to make new products and really how to innovate and really how to I guess, carry that conversation forward of what's good for not just the environment, but for obviously the women that are using the products. I think this is great. It's a great, great mission, and not easy to do what you're doing, because shelf space, distribution, I mean, it's just not an easy thing, which I guess leads us right into our topic in general, which is raising capital. You know, so now you have this company, you know, Women Founders, you have a product, and now you're looking at raising capital. And, you know, what has been your experience? Like, why do you think a lot of that VC funding maybe gets overlooked to women founders?
Well, and that's exactly what happened to us. I think when we first came out of the gates, you know, we were both, Danielle, my cousin, and I were both mature mm-hmm. founders, and we had these great corporate backgrounds. She had an executive with Kate Spade and Coach and Ann Taylor and Talbots, and mm-hmm. we thought we had the, you know, the manual for building a brand. We would go out and raise mm-hmm. a bunch of VC money and live happily ever after. And what we found when we went out and met with VCs that first summer was that they simply weren't interested. They said, you know, it was a lot of men that didn't understand the category and why we needed new tampons that already existed, and they didn't understand the defensibility or how we were going to differentiate ourselves, and we raised nothing. And it was a big wake-up call for us, and it, you know, there was a lot of tech-based money happening. There wasn't a lot in consumer products. And so we really had to dig deep initially and understand that that wasn't going to be our path. So our first round was led primarily friends and family. And we had to find that seed round was led by the university that I went to has a fund that invests in alumni that are building social impact brands. So that was our first break that we got. But it was really understanding that VC wasn't going to be right for us right out of the gates, and then having to raise that seed round on our own to build some traction to get to that next round that we have actually just closed.
Wow, that's amazing. What a journey. And I mean, it's never really supposed to be easy, right? I mean, it just, that's how the entrepreneur journey is. But that being said, for you to kind of persevere, to still go through to get that, to get, you know, what you need to get off the ground. And then now you mentioned you just closed your another round, which is amazing. So how were you able to kind of raise those seed funds? Like, so you said you went to like the university, but like, what does that process look like? And the reason why I'm asking you that question, by the way, specifically, Thyme, is there's a lot of, you know, women founders and entrepreneurs listening right now, and they may be going through some of the similar experiences that you went through when you were, you know, realizing some of the numbers of the industry and just kind of, you know, facing no, especially if they don't understand your product, right? And as you mentioned, it's a bunch of men looking at a product, potentially it was men, that they're like, well, why do we need this, right? So some of it may have even just been lack of knowledge there. So what does that process look like? Like, how do you persevere, basically? Because there's some people listening that are in that space.
Yeah, and I will tell you that it's all about your network. So, you know, I went to University of Massachusetts at Amherst, and it's the Maroon Venture Fund that made that initial investment, and they've got some amazing companies in their portfolio. And it was somebody that reached out to me on social media and said, you know, what can we do to help? And that was where the introduction happened there. And I would say from there, once we got that seed round, so it was this, that one fund plus friends and family, then we were able to, you know, fund and really do things our own way with some real authenticity and build some traction with some local retailers and hire a broker and all the sales started happening. But as we started to build the traction, in addition to this networking, we also got several grants. Most notably, the one that I'm most proud of is we received a grant from Sarah Blakely and Spanx with Global Giving. And she is my entrepreneur hero. I mean, she is as authentic as you get, the first self-made billionaire in the U.S. And came up with a problem that people didn't understand and has built this business that not only makes amazing products, but she just, her mission is to support and empower and build up other women and other female entrepreneurs. So we got three grants during that time frame, and we were introduced to like-minded investors. So we just closed a $2 million round. And this round, even though it was still incredibly difficult, everybody that's in this round are people that understand our core values, understand why we're doing this as moms, understanding our social and environmental impact, and that this isn't a hobby for us. Like, we left jobs as breadwinners, you know, as executives, to build this company and build this brand and empower this next generation. And it's largely women investment groups that came in on this round. We have one big institutional investor.
Wow. What a story and what a journey to get to where you're at. And I love that you brought up the, she's also one of my favorite entrepreneurs, and I've heard some stories about Sarah Blakely. And I don't know if all these are true, but I just heard when people are telling stories about different things and about how she grew up and her influences. I mean, just an amazing, remarkable woman. So great one to look at there. So what's next for you and what's next for Top the Project? I mean, tell me a little bit more about your plans going forward. I know you just mentioned you raised Top the Organic Project. So I know you just mentioned you raised more capital. What's your plans going forward?
We have found a real niche. So we're obviously direct to consumer. We have a big Amazon business. We have great e-commerce partners like Imperfect Foods. We've done really well with our niche with innovative grocers like H-E-B and Wegmans. We have a great presence and great partners in the natural channel with customers with distribution at Sprouts and Fresh Thyme and the Fresh Market and Erewhon is another one of my favorites. So we're doing great at retail. What we're seeing there is what matters is that we are a brand founded by moms for moms. We're about these Gen X moms and bringing better products for their Gen Z daughters and giving them this great information. What happened with this whole education process is we developed a first period box that's really been a rocket ship, because even being raised by hippies, my mom still said, hey, they're under the sink, good luck. And there's so many, not just moms that were struggling with this conversation, but 40% of marriages in the U.S. end in divorce. So all these single dads were calling us like, what do we do? They felt that this was a comfortable space, this being this mom-founded community, where they could get information for their daughters. Mm-hmm. So we have this first period box that has done incredibly well online. We're launching it with Target next week online. And we have these great partners with Girlology that are female pediatricians that, again, it's just about educating girls so that they know when something's not normal and they can take control of their health and they can be, at this critical time so that they're not missing sports or after school or school itself because they don't have products or good information. So it's really about expanding this education. It's about expanding the availability, accessibility of this first period kit that is done really, really well. And it's also about our community outreach. We, during the pandemic, we donated over 400,000 products, and now we have community pricing so that we can sell to nonprofits in bulk and make better products with more dignity accessible to more women. So it's just expanding. It's about raising the standard of the category. It's about expanding this accessibility. It's about being part of our communities. It's about our daughters paving the way so that they can make change. And there are girls making change. I'll just tell you one. This girl, Samantha Glover, is 16 years old in Nevada, and she started with an essay about period poverty, and we have connected with her. And she turned this into legislation that she wrote herself that has recently passed. So a 16-year-old girl in Nevada wrote the legislation that passed that all schools in the state of Nevada will provide free feminine care. When you see things like that happening across the country, these girls in high school not waiting for permission or later to make change, like there is this wave of this Gen Z that care about where brands come from and care about your core values and your social impact and your environment, and they're making massive change. I mean, think about what you were doing when you were 16. I was not writing legislation.
Man, that is amazing. What a great story. I'm seeing her got chills. I'm like, come on, 16, she's going to be that's another one to watch, right?
She's crushing it. Look her up on LinkedIn. The girl is crushing it. And we're seeing girls like that all over the country reach out like, hey, I raised $500 for my birthday. Can we buy some products to donate locally? Yes. The answer is yes. We get calls like that all day long.
Wow.
And moms, hey, I just did a party with my friend and we raised $3,000 and we want to donate product to our local. We do that all day long. And that's where we know that this is more than just a brand and make it better. It's about really this rising of this accessibility and this empowerment and this, like, why are they not covered by food stamps? Why are so many states that still tax it as a luxury item? Why are girls missing school? Like, once it comes into the forefront, it has become this movement. And there are so many people, we're a very small team, but we have angels all across the country that are helping us get these better products out there and getting them into their communities. So it's just incredible. We literally were just at the neighborhood place in San Antonio last week with HEB, one of our retail partners, and we donated 50,000 products to the family services organizations throughout Texas. And what they're doing is so much more than food banks. They are teaching about health and wellness and nutrition, and they're teaching girls woodworking and plumbing and electrician, you know, electrical services so that they can do more trades to get more women in trades. They also have this amazing school for all those students that is teaching robotics and STEM, and they have a recording studio. And like, these are not the shelters and services that you think of when you think a food pantry. These are these amazing places with these unbelievable people that are taking a holistic approach to helping their communities. And to be a part of that, I mean, our product is amazing, but what's happened and these people we're meeting and the real change is happening by extension through all these helpers that are out there is really what drives us every single day and has made this just such an incredible journey.
Amazing. So Thyme, this has been great. If somebody's watching this or listening to this and they want to learn more about Top the Organic Project, I mean, what's the best way for people to follow up and to connect?
That is a great question. Of course, you can go to our website, which is toporganicproject.com. We are on all the social media. So we are on, you know, you see us on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, you name it. We're out there. It's all toporganicproject.com. And I'm sure you'll have it in your show notes. And we are thrilled to be able to speak to you today and tell more people about our brand. And if anybody wants to join our community and help, we would love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Well, Thyme, again, thank you for coming on the show. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, especially if you're a first-time listener, hit that subscribe button. We definitely want you to come back and be a return listener, return visitor, have many more mission-based entrepreneurs and companies coming up for you, and we don't want you to miss anything. And Thyme, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
All right. You have a great day. Thanks so much.